This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Another win for Nick Sirianni.
They got to come out to that at the Super Bowl.
Oh, there's no question they're coming out to this in the Super Bowl. When the team runs out of the tunnel, led by Sirianni, it's got to be this.
You will respect him.
If they run out of the tunnel in New Orleans to this, I'm all in. Like, when am I going to do that? I'm going to denounce Sirianni then?
Respect the man.
Well, he did a good job last night. His team is 8-2, six straight wins. A big reason, of course. We'll get back to your phone calls in a second here. 215-592-9494. A big reason why Nick Sirianni's team is 8-2. Is because of a certain running back. His name is Saquon Barkley. Last night, you know, the first three quarters, Hugh, he did not have a big run, right? It was more like 3 yards in a cloud of dust for three quarters. And that happens sometimes. You kind of keep going. And eventually with Saquon Barkley, he's going to break one. He didn't break one. He broke two. He had the big catch early in the game for like 30-something yards.
Yeah.
But the two runs late in the game, the two touchdowns where he broke it, he ended the night with 26 carries for 146 yards, two touchdowns, and of course he added in two catches for 52 yards. It's been an incredible run for Saquon. He has the most rushing yards through the first 10 games of any Eagle ever. We're watching a special season, and that's, of course, all thanks to the Giants deciding, and their GM saying, maybe we don't need this guy anymore. Here is the crowd last night. Listen to this. Saquon, he's on the stage with the Amazon crew, right? And they're interviewing after the game. Listen to the crowd and what they're chanting as Saquon Barkley is celebrated last night.
It feels amazing. Last year, it was, you know, tough year for me mentally. Did a really good job of...
They love the Cowboys.
I'm gonna stop you for a second. I'm gonna let the crowd take this one. You guys listen at home. They are saying,
thank you, Giants.
Hugh, that was loud.
I mean, cold-blooded.
Shouldn't they be saying that? It's amazing that the team that had him didn't want him. Let's listen back to some of that last spring as the Giants made the decision to just let Saquon Barkley walk away.
What's the latest? Just on the Saquon thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not. Which I don't know if I'll make a couple of calls. I don't even know if that's gonna happen, but.
I'm going to have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. I'll tell you that, as I've told you, just being up. I've been around enough players. But he's the most popular player we have by far.
The best part I've always found since we played this whenever it came out in August is the smiling and laughing by Joe Shane. Like he has it all under control. Meanwhile, Saquon Barkley has come here and he moved himself to being an MVP candidate, certainly an Offensive Player of the Year candidate. And I don't know where the Eagles would be without him right now. I mean, he has been as good as you thought he could be. He's been better than that.
Yeah, and to be fair to the Giants, which I rarely do, but let's be honest. He would have not been the guy that he is here up there with y'all because y'all just a dumpster fire.
Well, they would have stunk with him anyway, the way they have the last five years. Yeah.
So take comfort in knowing that we got the best version of him. I mean, because you couldn't have pulled it out of him. It's almost like – bad analogy time. It's like when you know you have a girl that dates a guy and she doesn't reach her full potential until she gets with somebody else.
That's this?
And then you say, yeah, that's basically what this is. Mm. She's reached her full potential. She got her some Louis Vuittons. She's been going to the gym on a regular. And now you're looking at it and you'd be like, damn, I used to date her. Just take comfort in knowing that y'all used to date. And, you know, you always have that memory.
I'm imagining John Mara saying these things
now. It's a memory. She's doing so much better without you.
So I got to throw you were right at a certain group of fans right now.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the some of the takes were that this is going to be the Eagles version of Christian McCaffrey? And that was like, that was the best case scenario, but that's rare, right? That a running back changes teams and he's even better as he gets older. Well, how about this? Through 10 games, Saquon Barkley, 134.7 yards per game. Last year, Christian McCaffrey, 126.4 yards per game. Saquon has been, so far this year, even better than McCaffrey was last year. And the one thing he doesn't have is touchdowns, as many as McCaffrey had more.
Yeah, because Jalen be stealing those.
Yeah, the tush push. Mm-hmm. And I think I saw that Barkley has been stopped on the 1 yard line like 8 or 9 times. So he, like, if not for a moment here or there, or just a spot here or there, he might have that many touchdowns. He's been remarkable. Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, good afternoon, Hugh.
Good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon, Bruce. What's up?
Lock in, buddy.
I'm fired up, man.
I could tell. I could tell.
Oh my God, that game was just that game was just awesome. I'm just so glad that they put these guys down. And I got one of my rivals. You know, we made a bet that we would have to sport each other's team's logo on our profile. So he's a DC fan with Fly Eagles Fly because he lost the bet.
That's a good day.
7 days. 7 days. 1 week. Yep. Got him. He'll never make that bet again.
Oh, that's a good one, Bruce. And Bruce, the best part is how the defense keeps playing here, isn't it? The defense at Saquon Barkley. I mean, they've got a formula now, and it's working.
No, it's insane. It's kind of like what I said. They're starting to remind me. Now, the defense isn't like exactly like the 2000 Baltimore team, but their team, the philosophy, the way they play, that's what it's looking like. I'm just super excited. There's no doubt. I tell you, I was looking at some of the news this morning, and they flashed a report on our secondary and Keon Mitchell and all of his matchups. And his stats are just simply insane. He is a bona fide shutdown corner. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable stats. I'm just so excited. Now, I think moving forward, I mean, they can beat every team. They can beat every team to include Baltimore. I mean, going down the stretch. Now, my only concern is just the first. I'm not sure if it was a fatigue thing or some other things involved, but. Man, some of that play calling, I think in the first half, and just play execution, maybe it was just attributed to the guys being tired. I'm not sure, but they got probably the one thing that they have to improve on going forward is just scoring in the red zone, scoring touchdowns in the red zone, and you know, putting teams together earlier versus later.
Yeah, that was the problem early in the game. Yeah, they had opportunities and they didn't do it. The passing game was obviously choppy early, but man, when you have a defense like this, Bruce, you can win a lot of football games. Their defense has become, you know, one of the five best in the whole league.
Absolutely. And you finally off the plant based on the defense, man. I heard you, man. I got in just in time.
I mean, I got to give him the props, man. I sound kind of crazy on here talking about that and the way that
finally
play,
off that plant based stuff, you.
I ain't got no problem sounding crazy, but it's just like, it's too much.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, but I see what you were saying. I mean, I actually agree with you early on, but I think that now that they're taking shit, I think it's official. I mean, if you look at the stats, this is our first test against a really good quarterback. I mean, they smothered them, made them feel uncomfortable. Nolan Smith getting a sack. I mean, at a critical time in the game, he's coming around. That drop step move, I don't know what he did. Man, and that, I think the guy outweighed him like 40 or 50 pounds, and he just went around him and got that sack. I was just so happy to see that.
That was a great move. I mean, he took a short angle, and then you're right, he just kind of ducked under him. Bruce, good phone call. Yeah, it feels like they're all coming together, this defense. Like, there's no area of the defense where I say I'm a little worried about that. Like, they've really found some I'm amazed at the job Fangio's been able to do in such a short time here.
Yeah, and that's the exciting thing about it, Joe, is that this defense, at the beginning of the year, we were hoping for a middling defense. We were hoping for just a middle-of-the-pack defense. They've become the catalyst. Those mutual funds that we got in the offseason, they're paying huge dividends right now.
Now we got breaking down stocks again with Hugh Douglas.
No, I'm just saying a mutual fund,
financial
yeah,
Douglas.
Yeah, because we put all our money in our blue chip stocks.
Yep,
and they're performing okay. They could be performing a lot better, but the mutual funds, boy, you're looking at that, And you thinking about taking a little bit of that money out the mutual funds.
Be careful, Hugh.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta keep it in. Keep that money in.
So is bond like the most important mutual fund they got going
on?
Well,
like
right
when you have a mutual fund, you know how mutual funds work.
Sure.
It's like a collective of a bunch of different stocks, and they kind of perform in unison.
So bond and the exciting whites and all that.
Nolan Smith, so we got the exciting whites. We got the Cooper DeGene. Well, he's a part of the exciting whites.
He's an exciting white.
We got the rapper CJGJ.
Yep.
On the back.
They have a lot of characters on this team.
We got Darius Big Play Slay over there. We got Bryce Huff, who shows up every night again.
I don't know if we include him.
Yeah. We have all the guys. Mm. And Jalen Carter. Mm. Jalen Carter is right now.
He's probably
a blue chip.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Among the penny stocks, the mutual funds.
I don't know if we should include the Huff stock. I think we should just.
No, he's a part. He got a big Reggie White.
I'm selling that
last year. No,
we're
he's
selling
a part
that stock.
See,
yeah.
when you have a mutual fund, he's a part of the mutual fund. You can't. Yeah, he's a part. He's
See, you think we're not going to call you on the Huff thing because you gave up the defense luxury thing?
No,
now.
You're not. Mm. I mean, I was hoping.
How many snaps last night for Bryce Huff? 14? 14 big snaps? Did anyone see him make a play last night?
Mm. He made a tackle.
I didn't notice he was on the field.
I didn't really either. That's
Let me
okay.
make sure I look at my stats and make sure. Yeah, he made a tackle. He had a tackle. Solo tackle.
Wow, that feels like one of those where he jumps on the pile as everyone
else is. I'm trying to help you out, buddy.
No, solo tackle means you got there first.
I don't. Well, I got to talk to the bookkeeper on that one. Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Dream Team, how y'all doing today?
Hey, what's up, Will, man? What's up?
Happy Eagles Friday. That's what we do. We're going to win, baby. Listen, you know, one of the biggest things that I like in the game, right? I like that when we went into halftime, we made the adjustments. That's something that we haven't been able to do in a while. I mean, like the adjustments, they looked at what they was up against, and this is what I think that happened in the first two quarters. I think they kind of like did the homework as far as, you know, knowing that the Commodores is a fourth quarter team. So I think they saved a little bit of that oomph for, you know, later in the game to make sure we could put them away. And that play that Jalen got hurt, man, I know what you're talking about, you. Because when they tried to pull him up, he was a little wobbly. But also that same play, he overlooked Goddard that was wide open to it for AJ. I looked right at that. I said, oh, my goodness. But like one of the callers said also, man, Jalen with the timing, he got to get his timing down a little better. You know, some of the times, especially in that red zone, man, I don't understand why they don't have a bread and butter, especially with Goddard, man. He's too big. He's too big of a body, man. They got to use him and you know, to their best advantage right now. And one more thing. This is the last one. I love to see that owner, the Sixers owner.
Oh, Josh Harris sitting there squirming with his dumb hat on. It was great.
I was so happy to see that, man. And that made my day. You know, us running in his face, man.
Oh, it was great, Will. Will, good phone call. Yeah, it was funny watching Josh Harris up there. Josh Harris always looks awkward. He's awkward when he speaks. He's awkward. Whatever he does, he's
probably don't like being around people. Probably socially awkward.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone here likes him around anyway. So it's better for all of us.
How dare he show up to that game?
Well, he was smart enough to be behind glass and not where anyone could get to him.
If I was the camera operator or like whoever did the big board, I put him up there every 10 seconds and let him hear it from his own fans. Like, or not his fans, but his own.
Oh, you mean the in-stadium camera, like on the screen?
Oh, yeah. I put him up on that big board all the time so that he can hear it from the Philadelphians.
Well, especially when he's got a basketball team that can't get out of its own way. Mm. I mean, you double whammy.
Honestly, like the nerve of him to show his face at that game.
Yeah, he needs to be out of sight, out of mind.
Get lost.
Like I get it, he's going to be at Sixers games. He owns the team, and people will just deal with that. But like to be there and sitting next to Bob Myers and whoever that other person was, get out.
Well, it's a slap in the face.
Oh, he doesn't care. I mean, I don't know if you heard it on the broadcast. They were like raving about all his teams and how they're doing. Like, I don't care. I don't care how his New Jersey Devils are doing. I don't care about the Commanders, how they're doing. Get him off the screen. Rob Adelko, what's up, Rob?
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, Rob.
Listen, real quick before I get to my 2 points, I can't blame the Giants. I'm with you. Like, what the hell do you want them to do? Re-sign Saquon and blow for the next 5 years? I mean, they had to let him go. You know what I mean? So
I'm not surprised they did. But the funny thing is, Mike, listening, the arrogance of their GM, like the way he spoke, like, yeah, wherever he got, like, he stinks, and his
team
stinks.
He was convinced he was cooked.
He was. I think you're right, Hugh.
You're right from that point of view. That is true. Now here's my two quick points.
Mm-hmm.
One, I'm going to kind of make a bold statement, and two, I'm going to tell you a major concern I have, okay?
Because
I'm looking at the big picture. Do we have the makings? I know it's early because he hit a wall last year, but we're all talking about the monster in Jalen Carter, right? I mean, he just wrecked that game. He wreaked havoc last night, right? We all agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
Could we have the making, Hugh, of a young Aaron Donald, Warren Sapp? I'm not saying he's those guys, but he has those characteristics.
I mean, we made those comparisons last year in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he didn't live up to them. So I don't think it's far-fetched to say that he could be like that, because that's what he was compared to last year. People were mad when I compared him. I was like, he looks like he could be the next coming of Jerome Brown. They was like, oh, slow your roll. I mean, hey, if he plays like that on a consistent basis, the sky's the limit for the guy.
That's what I'm thinking. He's got those cool characteristics. Well, he can just physically out-muscle you. He can just physically dominate, impose his will on you, and hell, it was great to see. You know what I mean? It was just great, great to see.
Now, the best part, Rob, is he's doing it on a more consistent basis now, right? Like, it used to be a flash play here or there. Now, like last night, he just wrecked their offense. I mean, every time they try to run a play, he's in the backfield.
Maybe I can win him in the Josh Harris's booth, and he can knock some steps in him. I'd like to watch that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Sell my Sixers to me, you know what I mean? But here's my major concern, boys, because I'm always looking at the big picture, okay? The big, big picture.
Mm-hmm.
If we're playing the Detroit Lions, and we're going to be playing the Ravens soon, when we play the Ravens, and if we face the Ravens again, you know what game? We cannot have a half like that. We have way too much talent. By accident, we should score 10, 14 points in the first half. By accident. My concern is we go down like that, and I understand the Redskins' offense, and they're this and that, but the Redskins aren't the Lions. The Redskins aren't the Baltimore Ravens, and they're the teams that I'm gauging against you, that I'm afraid we get down like that, the game's over. We're not going to come back. We're going to dig ourselves such a hole. I just don't understand why. Maybe it's because he was dinged up, Joe. I don't know, and it could have been a lot to do with it. But we've seen this all year, the slow starts. And I'm talking about when we play the Lions and when we play the Ravens, because I want to win another championship. That Lombardi Trophy, it's lonely. It needs a sibling.
Yeah, it needs some company.
Yeah,
I got you.
Company. So that's my pick. That's my big guy. That's my major concern. When we play the elite of the elite, we cannot have a quarter, let alone have a half like that. We just cannot do it.
So, Rob, I think it's a very fair, you know, it's a very fair thing to say. And, Rob, good phone call. I think anyone out there that's in their feelings over having some concern about Jalen Hurts, you got to wake up. I mean, like, the team looks like it's moving in a great direction, and they got to make sure. Again, I said earlier, they have 2 months to get the quarterback right. They're going to the playoffs, barring something crazy. They're going to be in the playoffs. They have 2 months to get this passing game right, because I think we saw it last night. We saw it in the Saints game. Hugh, the defense has played well.
Mm-hmm.
Really great.
Very well.
But if they have a day, let's just play it out, the Detroit Lions, right? If the Lions get up 14-0 in the first half because the Eagles' offense is behind, right? They're just not playing well.
Yeah, you don't feel confident.
And it's
going
to be hard to run the ball, right?
Yeah.
Like, because you're down, and it takes the whole element. It's like the Eagles can win a very specific way right now, and they're doing it. I think the concern people have, and why it's fair to have it, is what if that kind of game is not the game that's presented? I mean, could we just ask this defense to do this every week? That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot, but it feels like right now that if you asked them to do it, it wouldn't be tough for them to get it done. I mean, you don't want to put your defense in a position
every
like
week,
that every
right.
week. So this offense has to play better. But, man, they've had some pretty special weeks the last couple weeks.
I'm just amazed that I never see receivers wide open. I mean, remember last year? It didn't feel like there was a receiver open by 10 yards
the
time.
Week three?
Oh, the Bucs
game.
Week four?
Yeah, week four. Yeah, they felt like it was receivers open all over the place. It was a 9-on-7, and it was an offensive period.
Now
that's
it feels
what it felt
like we have more players in the field than the other team.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah, it's been incredible. Mike in Norristown is up. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what do you know? What do you say?
Hey, Mike, how you feeling today?
Hungover, man.
All right.
I was at the game last night. Tailgate.
Prepare to turn right in half a mile.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I didn't expect anything less. Go ahead, Mike.
But it was a great game, and we pulled it out. It was tough, though. It was scary. That first half, with Elliott missing, it wasn't looking good. Let me tell you something. Them Washington fans, they were in the building last night. They were talking a lot of smack. Up until 7 minutes in the fourth quarter, it was hilarious, right? This lady was sitting across from me, and she was quiet the whole time. And right when it was about when Barkley scored that second touchdown, she said, "Take your stank asses up the turnpike," and everybody started dying.
Well, I'm not surprised that everyone let the Commanders fans hear it. I didn't notice many were there many Commanders fans there last night, Mike? I didn't see many.
Yeah, where I was in the 100 level. There was about 15 of them.
15.
About 15 of them. They were going ham, and all of them were talking smack. One of them threw a beer at an Eagles fan. He got kicked out right before halftime.
Well, I'm sure they went home unhappy, which is all the
that's
whole point.
That's
what we're hoping for. Mike, you drive safe and feel better today. Mike had a long night. He's not the only one. I think a lot of people today woke up a little groggy. It was a late night. You groggy today, Hugh? I'm groggy.
Nah, because I went to sleep.
I'm a little tired.
Remember, what did Hugh say the percentage of
Commanders? 10%.
He said 50. 50-50.
That was absurd.
It was
It was disrespectful.
It was crazy.
To be completely honest with you. I mean,
what are you talking about?
When you said 50% of the crowd.
It was a lot of people there.
You suggested that Lincoln Financial Field would be 50% Washington Commanders fans?
You know when y'all ask me to make these percentages, I like to inflate the numbers. So I don't know why y'all keep asking.
Yeah, but there's inflation and then there's insanity.
And then be surprised when I'm way off.
No, that was offensive what you did.
I'm comfortable in this wheelhouse. It's what I do.
I think you should apologize.
You're a little too comfortable.
I should apologize.
Yes.
For what?
That was disrespectful to Eagles fans.
You doubted the Eagles fans.
I didn't doubt the Eagles fans.
No, you did.
I just thought that more Commander fans would show up.
What Commander fans?
50%. Hugh,
there was a lot of Commander
takeover
fans there. There were
of one of the lamest fan bases in the NFL to one of the best fan bases and environments in the NFL.
I thought they would show up.
It was disrespectful. You should apologize.
No, I'm not apologizing.
Hugh?
I already apologized for acting funny.
I want you to apologize.
I already apologized for acting funny. I'm not apologizing. Before
apologize.
Skewing the numbers. No, I'm not doing that.
Eagles fans deserve an apology.
They need to apologize to me.
No. Why?
No, they're
making me feel uncomfortable.
For what?
No, you should feel uncomfortable. That was a disaster.
Yelling and screaming and acting uncivilized at the tailgate.
Hugh, it's a football game. You ever been around the sport? It's not civilized.
It was way past my bedtime.
What time was it way past your bedtime?
Oh, man, about what, 6 o'clock?
At p.m.?
Yeah, you can take a nap by that time. This is past my bedtime.
I mean,
you need to apologize to me.
When you look up the dictionary
you need to apologize.
For what?
For saying Saquon Barkley wasn't that important.
Yeah.
Well,
we're headed towards a take funeral for you too, buddy. We're not letting
Since you want to start talking about people apologizing, apologize for that take
you had
yesterday.
Get him.
No, I didn't say yesterday. I didn't say yesterday.
Well, for the purpose of my story, you did say it yesterday.
All right, we'll go with your story.
No, but I'm saying you need to apologize for saying he wasn't significantly important. Huh?
Hold on. At 1 o'clock, at 1 o'clock, we will address it, all right?
I think both of you should apologize to me.
No one's apologizing to you.
Apologize for what?
Yeah, come on, this is ridiculous.
Because last night was great for my agendas.
Coach Sirianni?
Oh, jeez. Because he's on the Sirianni thing. Listen, he took the points last night. They won the game.
No, hold on,
I love Coach Sirianni, but he still could be crazy.
I was right about them being a defensive football team.
I
was right about Saquon
so
being the MVP of the football team. And I was right about Nick Sirianni. I hit the trifecta last night. It's not. No, they're 8-2.
Coaches on a week-to-week
basis.
They
were 10-1 last year.
Coaches on a week-to-week basis.
Joe, okay, even at 8-2, they look so much better than they did at 10-1.
You know I didn't buy 10-1.
We have eyes.
Well, I know. And last year we should have had eyes and we ignored things. But this year,
apologies.
At 1 o'clock, we will begin the process of planning a couple of take funerals, okay? And one of my takes probably needs to be put on like Hugh just did there.
And none of mine.
No, we could take up some of yours. I mean, we're choosing not to right now for the purpose of the show. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. Charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, Jilly, are you guys with us? 215-592-9494. All right, we will begin the planning for a Take funeral coming up at 1 o'clock. Your guest that takes before a big NFL weekend coming up. And I like that we get to sit back and just watch the NFL this weekend. Just relax. Chiefs, Bills, Sundays. So we'll get to that coming up at 1:30. We also have a fight tonight. Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. We'll hit on that as well. But before we go back to the phone lines here, I know everyone's excited. We're excited. 8-2 teams, 6 wins in a row. We do have a problem that we haven't really touched on, and this is not Jalen Hurts. It's not about Jalen Hurts. We all know that the passing game has been kind of up and down this year. That we'll figure out as we go. I think it's fair to say we officially have a kicker problem on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Talking about your boy Jake.
Yep, Jake Elliott is having a tough season. I mean, there's no other way to say it. We are more than halfway through this season. He is one of only 3 kickers that are like full-time kickers, not guys that have popped in for a game or two, that have not made a 50-yarder yet. And his field goal percentage this year, Hugh, is 73%. Most kickers these days are around 85.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are 12 kickers between 90 and perfection this year, like 90% and 100. We're at 73%. This is an issue. I mean, I know he's been a tremendous kicker here for a long time, and he helped them win the Super Bowl. But kickers sometimes just have tough years or they go bad. I don't know what's going on, but I have some concern about this.
It is kind of interesting. I think Jake's in a position where there's a camp that feels like there is cause for concern, but there's also a camp that feels like he's been iced for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, like he hasn't had enough opportunity?
Yeah.
But it's his job.
I think it was reported last night that he at least kicks the ball 250 times.
Yeah, that report was disputed.
Yeah, it was heavily.
Did you pick up? You hear that one, Kyle? Yesterday on the pregame show, during Howard's segment with us, we were talking about Elliott and take the points and like the whole. We were just debating back and forth, right, having fun. And I made the point that maybe he missed the 57-yarder in the Jags game because he wasn't used the whole game, right? Kind of he was iced. And Howard,
yeah, I don't like that take.
Well, okay, but let me cook on that one. Howard told us. That Jake Elliott kicks 250 kicks per game on the sideline to be ready.
50.
And Ike told him that is not true.
Is he from the Hugh Douglas school of math and inflating
maybe.
Numbers?
Well, maybe.
How did I catch a stray in this?
How do you not?
How did I catch a stray?
Let's go around the room here. All right, are we worried about Jake Elliott? I am. In a season that has Super Bowl aspirations, when we get to the postseason, those games are decided by a field goal here or there. We have a kicker making 73%. I'll raise my hand first. I'm concerned. Hugh, are you concerned with Jake?
I mean, somewhat concerned. Not probably as concerned as you are, but yeah, somewhat concerned, especially when you talk about being in a situation where our offense has not lived up. These blue chip stocks ain't performing like we thought they were going
to
perform.
We're back to the mutual funds?
Yeah, we're back to that because I kind of like that.
Enough. Yeah, we're going to hear a lot of
that. They're not performing. They're not performing up to snuff right now. So yeah, I'm kind of with you on
that. So what's a kicker in terms of that? Like,
he's a mutual fund. He goes along with the mutual fund? Yeah, he goes with the mutual fund.
Okay. Kyle, what do you think? You worried about Jake?
I don't know how you can't be. Yeah. I mean, I'm not hitting the panic button per se, but I'm at least of the mindset that they need to bring somebody in and sort of put a little heat on him. Another kicker? Yeah. Money changes people, man. Jake got that kind
of... No,
I'm just kidding. No, so I don't subscribe to the whole they haven't used him as much this season. Like, the Eagles do kick extra points sometimes. The Jags game, 57-yarder, that's a tough one, regardless, right? Like, that's a long field goal. Last night was a bad night for him. I mean, he looked terrible. So, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying cut him, but you have to start looking at he could sink your season.
Well, of course. We've seen this. I mean, Cody Parkey, he was going back for the Bears before the double doink against the Eagles. I mean, this happens. I'd say, doesn't it feel like once a year a good team has a kicking issue? And I didn't anticipate it was going to be the Eagles. And hopefully this turns around and we forget about this conversation 6 weeks from now. But right now he's struggling. I do also wonder how much this has impacted Nick Sirianni's decision-making this year, and will it moving forward?
I see what you're going with this because now you're kind of wondering why Nick went for it all those times because maybe he knew something that we didn't.
Maybe.
Interesting.
Well, now as you move forward, does he start to lose trust a little bit, right? Like, let's say next week against the Rams, let's could be a close game. We'll see. And they're out in the, you know, it's a 55 yarder. Is Nick going for the first down instead of putting the kick out there because he's losing trust? I mean, trust, Sirianni always uses that word, trust, right? I trust my guys. That's why I do something. Well, now it's fair to wonder if they still have the same level of trust to Jake Elliott. 215-592-9494. Sirianni did speak after the game about Jake and trying to keep a positive tone.
I saw you go over to Jake Elliott when he was having his troubles. What'd you say to him?
I mean, Jake's been so clutch his entire career and his entire time that I've been here too. And just like I would say to somebody that fumbled or dropped a pass in a moment, you know, we believe in you. You're going to have to make a kick to help us win this football game. And, you know, he did to get us up that 16 points and 8 points or whatever it was. But, you know, we have so much faith in him. And, you know, that's what you do when the connection happens. I think connections happen when you can really build connections through tough times, right? And so obviously he was going through a tough time, but you know, this team believes so much in Jake Elliott, you know, because of his track record and who he is and the teammate he is, the captain he is, and just wanted to let him know that we all believed in him and can't wait for him to get his opportunity to go out and do it again.
Well, he has built up a lot of equity here. Like I don't, yeah, I think that counts for something. He's made a lot of big kicks. It's just, isn't it weird when you're almost at Thanksgiving, he doesn't have a 50-yarder this season?
Yeah, when you talk about somebody who's been automatic. But like I said, there's a school of thought that because he hasn't had too many opportunities this season, maybe that's why he's a little off.
So you're blaming Sirianni?
I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just giving you an option on the way you want to think about this thing.
Please stop.
What are you talking about?
Well, it's his job to be ready.
No, it is his job to be ready, especially when you're kicking 250 times during the course of the game.
Yeah, that math, I think I'm
going to go with that, though, because I just kind of like saying 250 times.
Well, as I asked Howard last night, maybe his leg is tired if he's kicking 250 times on the sidelines.
That's a lot of kicks.
There's no way he's kicking 250 times.
How do you know?
Fake news, Howard, looking? Man.
he said.
Well, just do the math on that. I mean, like, there's a three-hour game. He's kicking 80 times an hour into the net?
He said it with a straight-ass face, too.
He did. You should have seen Ike's face when he said it, like, just flabbergasted.
How long until we get an angry text from Howard about this?
I'd say it's being typed out as we speak. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Dude, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, Terrence.
What's up, man?
Man, I was about to tell Sirianni to go for two, man, after a couple of them kicks, too, with Elliott. Man, he was a little shaky last night. And we somebody to send the Giants, general manager, you know what I mean, the president, send him a care basket or something, man, because the fans is right. Thank you for Saquon Barkley, man. He is the steal of the offseason. And pretty much, like you said, Joe Howie has performed some key offseason moves that probably could propel the Eagles to Louisiana in the Super Bowl run. But the Philadelphia Eagles, man, right now you got to believe in this team. I was telling Kyle, we're a complete team right now. And Jalen Hurts is going to be Jalen Hurts. I would like to see him have a faster start. I would like to see him, Kellen Moore and Sirianni, get some more quick hitters in there for him, and it's the beginning of the game. But the thing I liked about Jalen Hurts, he makes the key passes when he needs them. That pass to Goddard at the end when he fumbled, and Kakatera got the fumble recovery. Mm-hmm. That was a key momentum of the game, man. And I feel like the way the defense is playing right now, man. Quinion Mitchell had McLaurin. He had him in a chamber of hell.
Vice grip.
Like, he had him, man, clamped up. He had him all. He had like a baby in a crib. He was just watching that boy the whole day, and he's the set down corner right now.
He is. And we don't even hear his name during the games. They don't even throw his way. I mean,
throw to him, Joe.
Look, I'm not saying he's this guy because this guy's in the Hall of Fame or going to the Hall of Fame, but like, there's some Darrell Revis to this. When Darrell Revis was at his best, they didn't throw his way. Yeah,
lockdown. And as far as the Super Bowl run, the only team that's standing in our way is the Detroit Lions. And I feel like the Detroit Lions, they're right for the picking right now. I feel like we could beat them. I feel like we come in our A game. And I feel like Sirianni, I like the fact that he didn't get in the way last night. That showed a lot of growth in him during a big division game for him not to get involved in the game. That showed a lot about Sirianni.
Well, I thought he coached well last night. I did. And look, we can't control if the kicker makes the kicks. Terrence, we preached the phone call. But I didn't have a problem with anything Sirianni did last night. I mean, you could say that trick play, but that's a Moore call, right? And they worked on it. It got blown up. It didn't work. But he had them ready last night. They played well. And he outcoached the other coach who made a big mistake. I still don't understand why he didn't kick the field goal there. That was weird. And by the way, Terrence brought up that fumble recovered by Calcaterra. That might have been the biggest.
That could have swung the guy. Yeah, that would have been bad.
So that was right after the stop? Am I right on that? Are you right over there?
No.
Yeah, we got the text.
You got the text.
I'm not looking. Yeah, I'm not even looking. You knew it was on its way.
All I saw was every one of you guys that did it went downhill from there.
I'm not looking. So, but the Calcaterra fumble recovery, Hugh, that, I think that was right after they made the stop, right? Quinn doesn't go for the field goal. Eagles get the stop. It's 12-10, 7 minutes to go. If the Commanders get the ball back there, they might go win the game. They might. You're reading Howard's text.
No.
Are they?
It's a paragraph about how clueless we are. I'm sorry, Howard. The math does not matter.
It doesn't.
Whoever told you that is wrong.
I imagine them having a counter like a pitching coach, like clocking the kicks.
I believe in you, Howard. I think you're right. Everybody
I don't.
Else
thinks. You think 70% of Americans are actively chasing Bigfoot.
Hand off. I'm out on the 250.
I might not be the right ally in this situation.
You're the wrong ally. You are the wrong ally. Ally for this. Let's go to Andy in Deptford. What's up, Andy?
Hello. What's good?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Andy.
Everybody all right?
Yeah, we're good. We're just trying to ignore Howard's text, you know.
Before I hit that Eagles great win, can I shout out my team? I'm coaching, playing for a championship this weekend.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, what's the team?
Here we go. Big shout out to the Deptford Spartans 8U, right? 10-0 season. Going for 11-0, going for this chip this weekend against a really good Whitman Park team. At Bridgeton High School, so big shout out to the boys.
Well, that's awesome. Well, congrats, Andy, and go win this one, man.
Oh, without a doubt. As far as the Eagles go, I mean, you got to look at that defense first. Our biggest concerns you heard early on in the season: where's the pass rush going to come from? I mean, look at my boy Big BG, looking like a rejuvenate, looking like a 5-year vet more than a 15-year vet, right?
He looks like plays. Before you go on, Andy, he looks like a player that shouldn't retire. I mean, like, BG still got something left in the tank.
We got Sweat making plays, right? We got Carter unblockable. But you got other cats that love to criticize the coach, you know? People on the airwaves even criticizing the coach, mm-hmm. a week kind of coach, right? How about the decision the coach made to sit Avante Maddox and start Cooper DeJean? That's working out pretty good, you know, coaching decision. Great move by Nick.
Well, that changed the defense.
I'm just saying, though, he had to pull the trigger, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
You know, so, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. And then, you know, as far as Barkley, I mean, look at this guy. You got to have him in the MVP discussions. When's the last time an MVP has been a running back?
I think the last one was Peterson, right? Adrian Peterson,
yeah,
2012.
Yeah, but he carried the ball a lot that year, man.
Well, he had 2,000 yards. That was the thing that pushed it over the top. Yeah. Well, Saquon's got over 1,010 games. Like, he's on pace for 2,000 yards. Yeah.
I mean, leading the league in rushing. You know, like I told y'all a couple days ago, best free agent signing all time of the Eagles, not named Nick Foles. We already know that, even within 10 games. But with this kicker situation, that's really concerning me. I mean, you know, that's one of the biggest parts of the game. We left 7 points on the field. And we all love Jake Elliott. All you ever hear, oh, he's such a great athlete. He's a good golfer, this, that, and the third. I'm not worrying about all that. You got to be able to make extra points. You got to be able to make 51-yard field goals in the NFL, damn near automatic. I mean, like Kyle was saying, we got to get some competition in here. I don't care about what he did in the past. We're trying to win the chip now. So if it comes down to, you know, a field goal, like you guys were just discussing, now we got to start questioning things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, he may have, you know, sometimes kickers get that dead leg. You know, maybe he's getting that dead leg. I don't know.
You trying to bring in a kicker like next week?
I'm trying to bring somebody in tomorrow, not next week.
Bring somebody in tomorrow to get some competition under him. You know, maybe he's feeling a little too comfortable. You feel me?
Andy.
You know how that goes. You know, somebody comes in the off week. Oh, man, damn. I better start stepping in.
That usually happens on losing teams, though.
No, they come in every week.
Yeah.
That don't happen with kickers more than any other position in the NFL on a winning or losing team, Hugh.
It does.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying, like, the guy has one bad game, and now we're talking about bringing
it.
73% for the year.
I would say, Raymond, calm down, Andy. I'm just adding a little spice to the thing.
You spitting false. I'm not
spitting.
He's been suspect all year. He ain't make a 50 yarder all year. How's that good? How's that one bad game?
Are you gonna let me speak now, Andy? Because what I was about to say was
yours.
Because what I was about to say was, when he was asked to kick a long field goal the last time, when he was sitting on the sideline, maybe that's the reason why he missed that. Now, last night, there's no excuse for that, but I was trying to say maybe it's a little bit premature to bring in a kicker this weekend or next week. So, Andy, are you going to let me speak?
But I think you're forgetting one thing here, the 250 kicks per game on the sideline.
Sure, Andy, ask me this. Ask me whatever you want to ask.
All right. So he's been inconsistent.
But wait a minute, Andy. What about this? See, you don't like it when I do you like that, though, huh? See, that you don't do that. That's not how conversation works.
So he hasn't made a 50-yarder all year. So how is that good?
What do you mean? No, I just wait a minute, Andy. First of all, I just told you the reason why I felt like he didn't make it, and I also gave you a reason why it might be a little bit premature. Because if I'm not mistaken, didn't he win us a Super Bowl? Doesn't he get a little bit of cachet because he won us a Super Bowl?
Doug Sirianni. I mean, Nick. Whatchamacallit? Dougie P ain't getting no play with that. I'm not worrying about
because
that.
Because Dougie P didn't.
I'm trying to win the Super
Listen,
Bowl
wait a minute,
now.
Andy. Calm down. Because you got a chance this weekend when you go to Bristol, you're going to have a chance to win. But what I'm talking about is this football team right now. Okay. But what I'm trying to say is this. He's built up some cachet.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
So sometimes, like I said, maybe he's too comfortable, and you got to get somebody to push him.
So, Andy, I agree. So I think – well, here's the thing. Andy, good phone call. So, and good luck this weekend, Andy, in your game,
and hopefully
you guys win. All right, so do you think it would – because teams do this sometimes, right? You're not cutting him. You're not even really going to sign the guy. You just make him aware you got some tryouts going on. Teams do that to kickers, right? They're not they don't sign the people they bring in.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens to Jake Elliott, but like he would know, right? He'd be pretty aware if he looks over the other field because they have all the fields, right?
You see the writing on the wall
that they bring a couple free agents in and they work them out.
I would say I hear what you're saying, but I think that's a little bit premature.
So all right, let's play it out. Let's say next week against the Rams. 52-yarder, very makeable field.
I totally agree with you when you talk about the premise of the moments that you've had. The because we always talk about situations.
Yeah,
you have not performed,
mm-hmm.
but like I said, being the guy that has, you know, won your Super Bowl, you give him a little bit of leeway. Now, to your point, if it becomes one of those games where you know he doesn't make it, then there's a conversation to be had. But I also say this. It just feels like there's been a little bit of a paradigm shift in the way that Coach Sirianni handles these moments.
I agree.
So maybe that has a little bit to do with it because maybe mentally he's probably thinking, I understand and I acknowledge that this might sound like an excuse, but maybe he's thinking, oh, they're not going to use me anyway. And then when it's time to use him, he's not, you know, hey, he's not prepared.
Almost like the mental aspect,
not so much
the physical.
Yes.
Because we do know he's apparently kicking 250 times.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're forgetting that he kicks the ball 250 times.
No, yeah, that 250 kicks that he has a week, though. Yeah, that really.
I think it is worth noting that track record matters a lot in sports. Like, and Elliott's had a good one. But kicker is such a weird position. Like, it's so mental. Like, when sometimes good kickers just go bad for no. Remember Mike Vanderjagt with the Colts? At one point, I think he had the record for the highest percentage ever.
And then he went south.
He went bad. I'm not saying Elliott's can't play anymore. I'm just saying I've seen kickers be good, and then you wake up one day and all of a sudden, like, they can't kick anymore.
It reminds me of a bullpen arm in baseball.
Yeah, yeah, right.
They're just kind of fickle year to year.
That's a good analogy. That's good enough.
Hey, thanks, Hugh.
We don't usually tell each other that. We usually make fun of each other's analogy.
That's not a great analogy. I'm sorry.
Pick and say mean and hurtful things. Mm-hmm. But I felt like being positive because it's Friday.
And it's after a win.
This is definitely after a win.
Yeah. Plus, yeah, I think we should try to tone down the feelings in here because in about like 10 minutes, you and I have to like, they're planning our take funerals for us.
Your take. I still got 7 weeks.
Whoa. No.
I got 7 weeks.
I would say Your take's dead today.
No, I would say that my take has no legs today.
You guys are both cooked.
Your take died last night.
No, I have semantics. My take today,
we sat down. My take just sat down for a little while.
No, you're also cooked.
I have semantics on my side. All right, Drew's up in Westchester. What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Yeah, you know, look, the defense, you know, we've been giving them props and they deserve it. I mean, last night to me was a new level in terms of, you know, a game where the offense really did nothing for three quarters and the defense still kept us in position to win that game. And, you know, so all the props to the D. And I wanted to bring up a stat that probably no one's really been talking about. I had time looking this up while I was on hold.
Mm-hmm.
45 defensive penalties through 10 games is by far the lowest number of penalties an Eagle defense has given up. I look back 15 years.
Wow.
I couldn't find a season even close to an average of below 5 defensive penalties a game. And you, obviously, you know the value of that and the discipline that they're playing with. In addition to the aggressiveness, it's a great combination. And if they can keep it up, I mean, you know, those defensive penalties, Eagle teams in the past 10, 20 years, I mean, it's been so frustrating to see drives continue mm-hmm. for other teams when, you know, on a PI or whatever. And so I just wanted to mention that because it's, like I said, 15 years going back, I can't even find any close stats for an Eagle team to have lower than 5 defensive penalties a game. It's outstanding.
Drew, what strikes me about that and why I think it's so impressive is, one, It helps you win, like you said, right? Because those extend drives, it kills you. It's like you think you're off the field, you're not. But Drew, the other thing is they're doing it with a lot of young players on the field, especially young defensive backs who tend to just get penalized because they're learning how handsy they could be and all that.
He's not, and that's the one thing Quinion hasn't been. He hasn't been handsy.
No, and even DeJean, right? Like they're both kind of physical players, but they're not getting called. And Drew, they have young players up front, and they kind of want to make plays. You could see that, you may after the whistle kind of stuff, and like you're saying, they haven't had much of that.
Yeah. So it's awesome to watch and how it's coming together, and hopefully it's just the trajectory continues like this. And we got some tough games coming up against some tough teams, but it's so great to see the defense this becoming like a defense led team again. I mean, that's always the best feeling when you know your defense has your back as
yep.
far as winning. So the other thing is this defense, unlike the offense, this defense does not take long to get going in games. In other words, we've seen games where, like, the first drive by the other team or the second drive, we're like, what's going on with the defense? But they right the ship, like, right away. So, like, after that first touchdown last night, which I guess was on Washington's second drive mm-hmm. or something like that, you know, and so that's a great quality, too. I mean, the adjustments or whatever's going on with Fangio and the calls and everything. I mean, they are getting things squared away early in games. Now, if the offense can do that, then look out. I mean, it's going to be a great combo.
Well, they'll be dominant. I mean, they'll be the best team in the league if they get Drew. Drew, we appreciate the phone call. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. We'll get to guess the takes for a big Week 11 in the NFL on Sunday, including the undefeated Chiefs at the Bills. And when we get back, we're going to make preparations. We have a couple of take funerals that that I think are happening whether we like it or not. One of my takes that it might be time to say goodbye to, and one of Hugh's that's, I think we're lowering that thing into the ground.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.